Chapter 16. The cry of the wolf people caused the terrifying tide beast to pause in the middle of pulverizing us.
"Get ready to die, Scourge!"
A voice I had sorely missed split the air with a mixture of rogue mischief and deadly promise.
"Horus!"
Anwar screamed, and suddenly the Kraken abomination turned to face the new threat, which happened to be a wolf army led by the Falcon Man. On the other side of the rift, the reinforcements shot arrows and grappling hook devices with sturdy chains attached. With these weapons, they were able to pull one of the tentacles down and secure it to the ground. The thing roared, and it tried to blob its way out of the pit even more, but another one of its large arms was pinned to the ground.
"Can they keep that up indefinitely?"
Thass asked, as we all stood on the village side and watched the battle waging on the other side. As if to answer the big man, one of the arms strained against the chains until a few links began to twist and snap. Suddenly a bright white light and the most beautiful melody soared through the air, and I had to shield my eyes from the intensity. If it weren't for the hauntingly familiar sound of the singing, I wouldn't have been able to see who it was floating in a halo of light right over the pit. Shay. It was Shay, and she was all glowing and flying. And the song that poured from her lips was one of the most sorrowful I'd ever heard her sing.
"Everyone, push the Tide Beast back!"
Horus ordered, and I held my blades at the ready so I could help lead the charge to do just that.
"We have to get it back into the pit so Shay can heal the wound!"
I wasn't sure about a lot of that last sentence, but one thing made sense.
"Push it back!"
I yelled, and the command ricocheted from sergeant to lieutenant until everyone was united in the common cause of shoving the thing back into the hell it had crawled out of. At some point, I switched to my crossbow and fired bolt after bolt at the nearest sucker that attempted to gain purchase on the ground. Each bolt did the job of unseating the massive suction cup, and with the help of everyone involved, the abomination eventually slinked back into its chasm. Shay's singing soared to new heights, and her light got even brighter until it looked and felt as if she'd brought the sun to the lower echelon herself. Then the beams of her holy light shot down like lasers from her position in the sky and forced the beast down even more. It cried out, and an almighty earthquake shook the firmament until most of us were collapsed on the ground from the force. When I looked up, I could see the two sides of the fissure being mended together, and as I watched, I finally knew what Horus meant by healing the wound. The pit was the festering wound, and there was something highly symbolic about watching two parts of a whole melt back into one. When the earthquake and the shifting land was done, the red sky event was over, and the ground looked smooth and unblemished around Snake Tree, like there had never been a fissure at all. That was all well and good, but my sight was set on the ball of light still hovering in midair. And when that bauble's light flickered and began to lower, I ran. I ran heedless of anyone or anything except for Shay. 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 My heart beat a steady beat of her name through my veins, and as I ran up to stand practically under her, I cast my weapons to the side so I could have my arms free. The resplendent Phoenix Woman floated down gracefully into my embrace, like some kind of actual angel, and when I had her solid against me, I couldn't stop myself from just gazing into her beautiful face.
"Goddess Shay, what even was that?"
I blurted out ecstatically, and then twirled her around. For some reason, I didn't want to set her back down on the ground, where a giant chasm used to be just yet.
"Did you see?"
she giggled as she gripped onto my shoulders.
"I think everyone saw, sweetheart,"
I laughed. And finally, I let her sink down to stand on her own feet.
"That was fucking incredible! I don't even... How in the world... Oomph!"
My words were swallowed up by Shay's hungry mouth, and I forgot what I was saying and clutched her closer.
"Oh, husband, I missed you,"
she said between breaths. "I missed you," I groaned, and then buried my face into her crimson curtain of hair. Her spicy yet floral scent enveloped me, and it soothed something primal inside of me that didn't quite know how to function anymore without her and the rest of my wives and lovers. I didn't realize it until I had Shay back just how much a piece of myself had been missing. But it was only when Zoe and then Amaya joined in on the love fest that I truly felt as if my heart was complete.
All right, break it up!
Horace's wry tone brought us all back to the present, and I looked over to find the man with a wide smirk on his roguish face.
Don't you look dapper and as fresh as a blossom, I teased,
and walked over to my best friend so I could slug him in the shoulder. That's for almost dying.
Ow, good goddess, chief,
he mock whined, and then he punched me right back in the chest.
Oh, fuck,
I rubbed the area with my hand.
You look dapper yourself, Horace said with a shit-eating grin. That battle stench is really nice on you.
Yeah, well, it's too bad that after you were saved from the curse, you also regained your voice, I snarked. I was looking forward to the silence being a permanent thing.
Oh, I missed you too,
he joked, and wiped a fake tear from his eyes.
Do I get a kiss?
Shut up, I said. And before I could think too much on it, I hooked the guy around the neck and gave him a rough hug, complete with a manly backslap or two. Now, don't pull that shit again.
I'll try not to,
he grinned as he looped an arm across my shoulders.
Horse,
came a tremulous voice, and the Falcon Man froze as Anwar pushed through some of the people milling around and celebrating like we were.
Ani?
His arm dropped from my shoulders, and he took an aborted step toward the Ibex woman, but paused as if he was afraid of his welcome. Anwar registered the motion, and her normally stoic expression broke at the sight.
I'm sorry, my love,
she stammered.
I should have gone to you when you reached out to me.
Oh, Ani, no,
Horace said, as he swept in and tucked the mage into the shelter of his arms, as if she was the most precious of spun glass figurines.
Have you been feeling this guilt the whole time?
You almost died, and I didn't know what to do.
She choked out and let the Falcon Man run his hands up and down her back.
Come on,
I whispered to Amaya, Zoe, and Shay. Let's let them have a moment. My women nodded, and we moved off to mingle with all the other Terrans celebrating the incredible victory. As I looked around, there were a few wounded, but it didn't actually appear as if anyone had died.
You and your brother have impeccable timing,
Major Tharfin said as he approached us with Thass, who was cradling his arm.
How did your brother talk the Wolfmen into helping us? Or is it you I have to thank?
What are you referring to, my lord?
Shay asked with a puzzled little frown on her face.
I just got done talking with the Wolf Chief, and he said he has changed his mind in wanting to help, he replied. Although he did not go into too many details. So because of this, I must assume the reason lies with either you or your brother.
There was no persuasion,
Shay said.
It was actually brought to the Wolfmen's attention that perhaps they had been bystanders long enough. I think you have your son Thass to thank for that. They brought him up a few times when they were discussing whether or not just to leave Horace and I to find our way back to the village ourselves. Instead, they ended up escorting us the whole way and jumping in when they saw the Tide Beast.
They listened to what I had to say,
Thass asked with a dazed expression on his scaled face. He looked a little like he had a concussion with the way he kept leaning on his father's shoulder.
Yes, lad,
Tharfin said gently, as he tugged his son's good wrist over to where there was already a triage situation with some village healers being set up.
Now, let's see about your hand, hmm?
Okay,
Thass nodded, and let Tharfin lead him. But when he passed me, he couldn't keep the large grin off his face.
Now listen to me, Alex.
That's great, buddy.
I patted the man on one of his panzer-like shoulders and huffed a laugh as I watched the major lead him away.
Poor thing,
Amaya commented.
I hope he will be well before we get to the palace.
What do you mean? I asked. I could tell by her tone she knew something the rest of us didn't.
I know you said we hold all the cards, Alex,
she said slowly, as if she was trying to correctly organize her thoughts.
But I can't help but feel like this transition will still be full of battle and strife, no matter how good of a case you make.
I sighed and rubbed the space between my eyebrows.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's silly to think that so much bad blood can be wiped out with a protest and a list of demands. But these people literally have no choice. When the time comes, all of us will just have to be at our sharpest.
What of Rylan and Jenna?
Shay asked, once we put this matter to rest for the time being.
Crackers felt it necessary to drop by before visiting you.
How was that? I asked with a shit-eating grin, and I got a little love tap on the cheek for it that Shay immediately followed with a kiss.
The bloody thing didn't poop on me this time, at least.
She groused, and the four of us cracked up until there were tears stinging all of our eyes, and not all of them were from humor.
Oh, I'm so glad you're back, I said.
And then I gathered us all into another group hug, where Shay was in the middle.
It's been an age,
Shay mumbled from somewhere in the center of our pile. To answer your question, I continued when we all pulled back from our shared embrace. Rylan and Jenna are back on Nada Isle with Captain Nemus.
Oh, good,
she said with a sigh of relief.
And when do you think we'll be going home?
Once we crash this royal wedding and restore harmony between the echelons, I believe we're headed that way, babe. I tucked a strand of her crimson hair behind one of her rounded ears. Mercedes, how I miss that hair.
Ambassador!
Lieutenant Virtus called out, and I turned toward him and the two brothers, Sarek and Cestus.
Good battle. How were you able to move so fast?
Good battle, I replied, and clasped forearms with the man in a hearty shake. What can I say? I'm just skilled like that.
You must teach me the art of wielding weapons two-handed,
Cestus chimed in. And for a few minutes I got caught up in a miniature bro fest where I was showing them the dual herald cores on my blades.
Enough talk about the boring stuff,
Horace piped up when he and Anwar joined the conversation as we walked and talked. His arm was casually draped around her, and it appeared as if the lovers had made amends.
Shouldn't we be planning a celebration first?
That is the first intelligent thing I've heard all day, Leader Zair said, as he helped someone wind a bandage around their head. We've all just come out of a serious battle and are now about to embark on a hostile takeover. I don't know about you, but I must get very drunk off the rest of the village ale, and I am going to need some help.
We all volunteer, I said, with legit seriousness.
Sign us up,
Horace agreed.
Where's the ale?
The lieutenant called from a distance, since he'd apparently heard the murmurings of an epic party on the horizon. The blue and yellow striped brothers had matching expressions on their eager faces, and from that point on, I dubbed the three of them the Terran Frat Bros. If anyone could get this kegger going, it would probably be them. Hey, I said as I just realized, don't we have a house here?
We definitely do, Horace said. And I don't know about any of you, but before this unofficial little soiree commences, I would very much like to not smell like a foot.
You smell way worse than a foot, my dude, I scoffed. But I agree. Let's go back to the cottage and see if we can get ourselves cleaned up. With my crew and me back together again, my heels felt light and full of air as we waltzed up the neon garden path and into our quaint home away from home. Even though we'd only barely stayed at this place less than a handful of times, it was a welcome sight to find some creature comforts and familiarity, especially since all of us were feeling the sting of homesickness.
What I first thought was gratuitous, I'm now not even going to question, Horace said,
as we both stood in the back garden with our hands on our hips and surveyed the stack of wooden tubs.
And here I thought it was ridiculous of Senna to be obsessed with hygiene when the man looked like he could make his own hair oil from his own hair oil. Now I'm just thankful.
Agreed, I said, as I counted the tubs in the stack. There's enough tubs here for everyone to have their own bath if they wanted.
Oh, where's the fun in that?
Horace said, as he playfully swatted Anwar on her backside. She shot him a heated glare over her shoulder and then resumed pumping water in a bucket. Ladies first, I said, and the Ibex woman gave me a grateful look.
At least someone has manners,
she sniffed.
You like me precisely because I don't have manners and lack a filter, the Falcon Man urged. And another thing.
Horace never got to that other thing, because Anwar interrupted him by kissing him soundly on his chattering mouth until he shut up. When she broke away with a pointed smack, he could only blink speechlessly at her.
"Horace,"
she said with her textbook seriousness,
"I don't like you. I'm in love with you."
"Ani," the Falcon Man said as he finally regained use of his voice and cupped her face.
"Oh, love."
When the two of them began sucking face again, I decided to go back inside for a moment to let them have a second, or, like, several seconds.
Yeesh.
"Alex?"
Amaya rounded the corner where the kitchen was with a big stock pot in her arms.
"Where's Anna?"
"She and Horace are, making amends still," I said, and gestured toward the back door.
"Oh, my."
She giggled and hefted the pot higher.
"Also, I think you're wanted upstairs."
"I was going to get a bath set up for one of you guys first," I said. "After those two out there get a room, that is."
"Don't worry about that, husband,"
Zoe said as she waltzed down the stairs with a small smirk.
"For now, I believe there is someone you must reconnect with."
My catwife glanced upstairs where Shay, the missing person of our party, was undoubtedly at. It was true. I had been feeling like a tender bruise sat where my heart was, and I wanted to fill that absence. "But there's so much we have to prepare before we go," I said. And even to my own ears, it sounded half-hearted.
"We have everything under control,"
Zoe said as she tugged my chin before she pecked me on the lips.
"Go on."
"You're amazing, you know that?" I grinned, and kissed her once more before I was taking the stairs two at a time. When I approached the door to the room I shared with my women, something stopped me from just barging in and tackling my phoenix wife like my caveman brain wanted me to. I wanted to savor this reunion slightly more than I wanted to just rip all of our clothes off. So I eased open the door without making a sound. Shay was across the room, swathed in her sheer jade robe, as she twisted around to look at herself in the mirror. The robe draped low down her bare back, and the fall of her heavy red and gold hair was pulled over one shoulder. She couldn't see me because of the way she was positioned, so I was able to sneak in and observe her in the shadows of the drapes sectioning up the room. Her beauty was radiant in the soft glow of the oil lanterns, and I took a moment to trace the lovely contours of her voluptuous body with my hungry eyes. Through the semi-transparent fabric of her robe, I followed the graceful line of her neck, down the slope of her shoulders, and along the curve of her hourglass waist. She looked so warm and touchable, and it wasn't long before I was abandoning my post so I could come closer. Shay spotted me and smiled, but then returned to her task of trying to catch a glimpse of her back in the mirror. "What are you looking for?" I asked, as I sidled up behind her.
"That scar,"
she sighed and pulled her robe down even more so I could also see the crescent shape along the edge of her scapula.
"I learned so much with the wolf people, Alex, but I never learned to heal myself."
I caressed the silvery half-moon mark, and my heart thudded painfully in my chest when I remembered what that mark had cost her. My beautiful songbird had spent most of her life in a gilded cage, even from her birth. She was born exalted above the rest because of the wings she was given. But instead of being able to hone such a rare gift, she was auctioned off to the highest bidder like a prize. And then, to add insult to injury, she had them ripped away from her in a botched surgery that left her barren. It was one of her greatest agonies. "Baby," I said, and then turned her around so I could hold her with her back to my chest. "Do you know how incredible you are?"
"Hmm?"
She hummed as she hugged my arms even tighter around her body.
"It was pretty thrilling. The wolf people have knowledge more ancient than anything I've ever encountered. And for a moment, when I was up in the sky, I felt as if I could actually fly. With wings, I mean."
I tucked my face into the curve of her neck and shoulder and breathed her in. "How did it feel?" I murmured.
"It felt..."
She cut herself off as she examined both our faces in the floor-length mirror. Her emerald eyes tracked over all of the cuts and bruises on my face, and then she clicked her teeth.
"Come here. Let me show you."
Shay led us both over to the bed and sat us on the edge. "What are you doing?" I asked, when she began to blow on her fingertips.
"There are several ways I can call on the incarnate power that won't leave me completely raw or drained,"
she said, and then demonstrated this by blowing on her fingers again. Each breath seemed to stoke the power within her until each tip glowed like a burning coal. Then she brushed her fingers over the parts of my face that I didn't realize were bruised and stinging until her healing touch dissolved the discomfort. I exhaled a slow and deep breath as the warmth bled into my spirit and soothed all of me.
"I can feel the parts of you that need relief,"
she murmured.
"The wolf people taught me that was the reason I felt the overwhelming urge to soothe every hurt from everyone around me."
"It was overwhelming for you?" I asked with a frown, and I caught her hand when she lowered it so I could give it a grateful kiss with my now non-split lip.
"Only because I didn't know what it was,"
she said.
"I couldn't really explain it at the time, but before, if I was even near anyone who was suffering, I could feel something under my skin. Like everything was too tight and itchy, as if I had lingered too long under the sun."
I combed my fingers through the soft feathers sprouting from her temple. I had no idea.
"I don't think I really did either,"
she admitted.
"When the incarnate power changed me, sometimes I have trouble remembering who I was before."
"And now?" I asked, as my eyes traveled down to her cherry lips.
"Now, I'm still discovering some things, but I feel so aligned to my purpose,"
she said with a smile.
"And now, I'm feeling like I want to rediscover my husband."
"Oh?" I arched an eyebrow at this, and then got up from the side of the bed so I could stand in front of her. "Maybe I need to rediscover my wife."
"Mmm."
Shay hummed and curled her feet around my ankles so she could draw me closer. She then smoothed her palms up the outside of my thighs and flirted with my armored belt with her plucking fingers.
"I can't wait."
My belt fell to the floor.